Thank you.
On Saturday, the 16th of October, 2004, the citizens of the City of Vancouver will vote in a plebiscite on whether city councilors should be elected as they are now at large, or an award system whereby the city would be divided into 14 wards. Last week I spoke with Councillor Sam Sullivan, who represents the No Wards Coalition, leading the No side. Today joining me on the line is Darlene Marzari, who's in charge of the Yes campaign. For 8 years, from 1972 to 1980, Darlene Marzari served as a Vancouver alderman. From 1986 to 1996, she represented the riding of Vancouver Point Grey in the British Columbia Legislature, where from 1991, when the NDP got into power, she served in cabinet, first as tourism minister, then municipal affairs minister. Marzari is the founder of the toy business Caboodles, as well as a member of the Fraser Basin Council, Save Our Parklands Association, and the Big Sister Society of BC, where she's an emeritus director. Welcome to the commentary.ca, Darlene Marzari. Good afternoon, Ms. Marzari. First of all, I heard on CKNW that you were going in for surgery or something like that, or...
Yes, I just had my stitches out. I now have a bouncing new hip.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good. And everything else is fine with that?
Yes, everything's great.
So you're back on the campaign, I suppose?
Well, in a seated position.
I see. Okay. So let's begin with the referendum itself. Councillor Sullivan said to me last week that the mayor promised in the election campaign of 2002 that the referendum would be held in conjunction with the municipal election next year. Why is the referendum being held this fall?
Why is it being held this fall?
Yeah.
Largely because Thomas Berger recommended it after he did his report reported in April of this year. He recommended a freestanding referendum, and I could imagine it would be to make sure that things would be in place for the next election.
But do you think, though, that you're hindered because there'll be a low voter turnout this time around? Because
no.
Municipal elections are notoriously low anyways. Referendum will be
lower.
So
then there's nothing to hinder. That the advantage to all of this is the fact that citizens in Vancouver have been asked four times in the last 20 years, 30 years, five times if you count the 73 plebiscite, to vote for a ward system or a non-ward system. And so citizens in Vancouver who have been here over the long haul are well aware of the issues on this. So there's no way that anyone can say they don't know anything about it unless it's willful. So then bringing it to a head and having a freestanding vote on the governance of the city sort of makes perfect sense at this point.
I've also heard and I've read elsewhere that this has something to do with Cope thinking that they won't get elected next time around. Is that a cynical view? Or?
That's an interesting thought, but one has to look at that from both sides. I don't know if Cope's future is going to be guaranteed one way or the other, with
because
a ward system or without, because one of the purposes of the ward system is to basically destabilize the existing party structures, which have become increasingly strong over the last 20 years, and which now are, especially with the ouster of Philip Owen in the last election by his party, flagrantly shows that backroom boys virtually run, and a party system virtually runs the whole municipal scene.
Now, we're seeing provincially the Citizens Assembly in action, and their report is due later this season. Yesterday, the day before, the Canadian Alliance, the Conservative Party, proposed an amendment to the Throne Speech calling on an assembly to be struck to look at electoral reform federally. So how is it that wards are appropriate for Vancouver when there is discontent with the way MLAs and MPs are elected?
Well, this is another lovely red herring that the No side brings forward. The British system of parliamentary democracy has very, very little to do with how municipalities have grown and operate. Municipalities, in fact, are creatures of provincial governments, but they have grown from the ground up in terms of developing their various functions and their taxation structures. Provincial parliamentary structures and federal structures have desperately needed renewal. They are 700 years old, they are moribund, they are completely corrupt, and they desperately need a serious looking at. But that doesn't mean to say that electing people from a particular geographic region is a wrong thing to do. So it's apples and oranges to compare a municipal structure to a provincial federal.
Here's a slow pitch for you. Mike Harcourt wrote of you in Shirley Chen, his memoirs, that you're the reason.
Can you speak louder? I'm
sure, sorry about that. Mike Harcourt wrote of you and Shirley Chen that you two are the reason that people can point to and say Vancouver is as attractive a city as it is today. How would wards make it more attractive?
Oh, attractive. I think Mike meant a vibrant, vital city.
Sure.
Shirley and I were basically involved with Mike when we were defending Strathcona against the at-large planning that was going on in the late 50s and early 60s to basically demolish whole neighborhoods and replace them with social housing ghettos and ram freeways through them. That's where planning was taking us in the 50s, post-war planning. And it was Shirley and Mike and many others that basically stood up and spoke for Strathcona and for other urban cities. Trafancourt in Toronto, John Sewell grew out of that, to say that neighborhoods are important in cities that are growing large and unwieldy. And the federal government stepped in and said, yes, neighborhoods are important for their own reasons, of course, because federal government was beginning to understand that urban voters were becoming the majority, not the minority any longer, and they needed a hook to find ways in which to say we're going to empower neighborhoods. So late 60s, in comes rehabilitation projects, urban renewal projects that basically favored neighborhoods and neighborhood housing and residential renovation rather than demolition. So what we're talking about here is the invention, basically, of an urban movement that concentrated on what you might call a social conservative argument for neighborhood power.
The at-large ballot is something that both sides complain about, that it is too large and unwieldy. What about other reforms to the at-large ballot, like asking for more signatures on the nomination paper?
Oh, we talked about that 30 years ago. In 1972, when I came on the council, we talked about placing restrictions on nomination procedures. But as long as the at-large system looms and is around, believe me, people are not going to, it's simply not going to happen. Other measures are simply not going to take place. I've watched it for 35 years, and I've watched the ballot grow for 35 years. It doesn't work. The larger principle here doesn't have to do with the ballot, although that's a very nice microcosm of the larger issue. The real issue here is accessibility and accountability of a local ward politician to a constituency. And the responsibility of that politician back to his or her constituency.
Would ward councillors, though, no side says that they'll be more parochial, that they'll look only at ward issues. Will we have ward councillors look at citywide issues? Of course they will.
Or they wouldn't apply for the job. Who wants to give up 7 nights a week and most Saturdays and very often most Sundays to be filling potholes and working on issues that only affect two blocks? No. Anybody who puts their name forward for public service has a larger agenda than that. They have a picture of how they'd like to see the whole city operate, and that's why they're getting in the first place. And also the fact that these people actually come together from different neighborhoods to make their deals and to scratch each other's backs if necessary, because that's what happens now. They will be doing so from a position of knowledge of what their local neighborhoods are about.
Now, Justice Berger suggested that the size of council should increase 40%. With that, the budget will increase, obviously. How can you guarantee that the taxpayer won't get saddled with this increase?
Well, how can the no side guarantee that they're not already spending too much money on councillors now? And I look at the numbers for Toronto and see how much Torontonians pay for their governance. It's about the same as we pay in Vancouver for a much smaller city, you know. So what the city clerk said was that it might cost about $1 a year per taxpayer for the four new councillors. Doesn't sound bad to me, to give a better voice to neighborhoods that have never heard before, that have never been heard before, and to provide a slightly more democratic structure where neighborhood voices can be heard.
What about the argument that right now we have 10 votes, when we go to wards we'll only have one vote? Is that?
Oh, well, what you have is 11 votes now, mm-hmm. and what you have when you come out with a ward system is, guess what, 11 votes, basically, because what you've got is one person who's guaranteed to listen to you, who has to red flag your comments, who actually reads your mail, who actually answers your phone number, your phone calls, who actually red flags your concerns and sends them through the system and then gets back to you in 11 days, 2 weeks, or 3 months, whatever that person decides to do. Whereas now, when you make that complaint to a counselor, it most likely disappears off the side of a desk, or it ends up in a civil service situation where you're basically confronted by or working with a member of the civil service. It makes you more powerful. Also, anybody who now can talk to a counselor can talk to any number of counselors. This will not disappear. And anyone who wants access to the mayor's office will continue to have it. If they want to go to the design panel, they'll be there. If they need to be at the technical permit development board, they could be there. If they want to be at the board of variance, they can be there. There's nothing preventing anybody from accessing the same people in the same in different committee structures or quasi-judicial situations than they've got now. What you've got with this award system is a guaranteed phone call that will be answered.
Can you guarantee that participation will increase with wards rather
no.
than... You can't?
No, I can't guarantee that.
All right. Well, I didn't expect
it. I was just assuming, though, that...
It would be better.
That it would be better.
Yeah.
That, in fact, that if I lived in Renfrew Collingwood, and I've got a situation on my street where there's needles on the street, that somebody's going to pay better attention to me and my concern, that a city councilor is going to be there on a Saturday morning walking with me through that schoolyard and doing what needs to be done, what calls have to be made. Or if I live at 17th and Main, which I just drove the other day, once you cross to the east side of Main Street on 17th, the pavement has a wow in it that almost turns your car over.
Right.
I would be able to make a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My
participation would increase.
Right. Talk to me about the Yes Committee. Is that, to me, looking at your website, they seem to be largely COPE members. Is it actually
Mike Francis, a businessman, probably. I've been working with Harcourt over the many years, certainly not NDP.
Right.
Ted McQuinney? I don't think so. Nancy Shaverio?
NPA,
definitely
right.
not. Fred Ma, I haven't seen him at an NDP meeting. Myself, I don't belong to COPE.
Right.
Let me think. Who else? I'm looking at a committee which is basically, and has been, and as I watch it evolve, very across the board.
From what you hear from public forums, debates, and stuff like that.
What do I, pardon?
From what you hear from, you probably haven't been to very many.
No, I haven't been to any of the public forums.
But from your campaign's point of view, does it seem like wards will get through on the 16th of October?
Well, they've gotten through three times out of the last four plebiscites.
Mm-hmm.
There has been a definite move towards wards. People have asked for them. They've not necessarily asked for a full ward system, but they've certainly asked for a ward system, and they've asked for a change. And each of the three times that it's gone through, the provincial government has been encouraged to play games to up the percentage point by which a majority is measured to 60%, or to ignore it, or to or the city council has played with the wording to guarantee that a plebiscite would not go through. So I'm thinking that we will have a low voter turnout, but we will have a majority of more than 50% plus one.
Now, you lowered the threshold when you were municipal affairs minister to 50%,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I had no intention of bringing a ward system in on top of the city council. That isn't the way I operate. I always believe that power should come from the ground up, and I would never have engaged in an out-and-out battle with the city of Vancouver. That would simply be foolish, and anything that I did to inflict from above would certainly be undone from beneath. So my whole life has been around encouraging people in their local communities to speak up and to take power, and this is what the ward system is about.
Now, suppose the referendum fails on the 16th of October.
Mm-hmm.
Will we then be saddled with another referendum a few years down the line? Will this be like the Quebec sovereignty referendum, or we just get asked the same question repeatedly?
No comment. About, I haven't a notion about what would happen. It would seem to me, though, that this particular council promised that it would engage in a ward debate, that it would engage in a ward commission, and is keeping its promise, even at the expense of its own administration and structure.
Right.
So I don't know how many parties are prepared to do that. You know what I mean?
Right. How reliable is Alan Garr's recent column that incidences of cancer and AIDS are linked to
I think Alan Garr has got the common sense and the wisdom to understand how carefully and thoroughly the research has been done on the no side, and has done a beautiful job of replicating it.
Right. Tongue planted firmly in cheek, right?
I've never seen such good satire.
Right.
That is the best satire I've seen in a very, very long time. Maybe since Jonathan Swift.
Right. Now,
and I've been around that long.
do you miss active political life?
Not one tiny bit.
And you have no plans on coming back, do you?
Never again.
Never again.
No, I want to be an ominous beige.
do you suspect, though, that I mean, how has the campaign been? I mean, are you? Do you think you're getting your message out? Do you think people are receptive towards?
Oh, the campaign's been very exciting, but very, very small scale.
Right. It's nothing
I mean,
like the Olympic.
How many phone calls can you make from a small phone bank, and how many people can you expect to come out and distribute literature on a Saturday afternoon, right?
So, right.
But what we've done has been very exciting and very motivating, and the response has been fabulous.
The no side certainly has an advantage. The ads in yesterday's Courier were practically on every page. Do they have an advantage over the Yes campaign, do you think?
Well, they have an advantage in the sense that the ward system that presently exists in the city of Vancouver, which is the west side dominating the rest of the city,
right.
Is the only area that they have to attend to. So the no side is desperately trying to pull out the vote on the west side of the city, and that traditionally has been pretty easy to do.
Right. Now, as I told Councillor Sullivan last week, I'm undecided. So if you had about a minute to convince someone to vote yes, what would you say to them?
I would say that if you're looking to improve the democracy of a system of governance in a fabulous city like Vancouver, in which you know that things are pretty well run, you've got a good civil service, you've got a good credit rating, if you're looking to improve the democracy and encourage communities that haven't previously been heard to speak up and start having their concerns met, then you'd move to yes for a ward system. If you were looking for responsiveness from a councillor that would guarantee you that you got a phone call back, you'd vote yes. If you were looking for a way to say, my God, why aren't there any Chinese or Indo-Canadian faces on council or other minorities, you'd vote yes. If you were looking for a way to perhaps increase neighborhood involvement and neighborhood concerns, you'd vote yes. If you were looking for a way to maintain the general control that the west side of the city has presently exerted and has done so for 50 years over the affairs of the city, you'd vote no, because you'd already have it made.
Darlene, thanks so much for joining us today. Hopefully people that visit our site will find this informative, as well as the No interview that I did last week.
That's great.
And I appreciate you taking the time to join me today, and keep well, and hope you had hip surgery, did
have a new right hip.
Really? Well, you get dancing and...
I will be dancing in weeks and then bungee jumping by Christmas.
There you go.
So how do I get access to this stuff?
At www.thecommentary.ca, and I'll send...
www.thecommentary.ca. www.thecommentary.ca.
And this should be up later this afternoon.
.ca.
Right. And I'll send a link to Mary, and she'll get that to you.
Oh, that's great. Thanks very much.
Sure. Okay.
Are you
going to
edit this?
No, it's going to...
Are you going to do it at... Oh, I hope I parsed. Anyway.
You were fine.
Okay, bye.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
www.yesforwards.ca. Darlene Marzari here on thecommentary.ca. I'm Joseph Plana.